Hello, everybody. Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This is part one of two podcasts, with part two coming out next week, about color and working in color. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we did a podcast about seeing in color versus black and white. And I had some people reach out and want to talk more about what are some of the basic concepts of color and color photography that they could use to implement and create much stronger photographs. So I thought we'd take some time this week and talk a little bit about color theory and some of the things you can do in correcting your color prints or images that you're going to put up on the screen to try to really make a strong color photograph. One of the things that I think we need to start off understanding is that color is actually a very specific language. We're going to talk in a second about adjectives that help us describe a very unspecific understanding of color. But color is broken down into hue, which is the actual color. Then we have the brightness or the luminosity value. And then we have saturation, which is the purity of the color. And if we combine hue, saturation, and brightness or luminosity, we get a very specific color, a mathematical construct of a color that actually tells us what a color is. So if you're working in Photoshop, you can actually go in and measure those components and get a numeric value for those numbers, which is a really amazing way to understand color from image to image and machine to machine. If you're working in a more analog world, there's still a very exact nature of a hue, saturation, and brightness. And it's something that painters have dealt with for years in terms of creating different tints and tones, the introduction of a white or a black, to shift those colors to create millions and millions of different colors that we might experience. So with that very specific way of describing color, for the most part, we don't describe color very specifically. We fall back on a lot of adjectives, or we describe colors based on other colors. So we might have a yellow-green or a blue-violet. We also have a lot of adjectives such as lemon yellow or fire engine red or ruby red. Each one of those invokes a different color. But yet, when I put the word red there, if it was just red, there should be just one red. There's one pure red. So all those adjectives that go around there go into a different understanding of color. So that's one of the things we struggle with when we're starting to really look at and understand how color works and what makes color photography work. Color perception is very much dependent on time and how long you look at something. The longer you look at anything color, the more you can discriminate the different tints, tones, saturations, and hues that exist there. It's one of the things that makes studying our Mark Rothko painting so interesting, is that what on the surface initially appears as two colors or one color, the longer you experience that painting, the more color you actually see. The other thing that happens is we initially are drawn to brighter colors, just like we're drawn to more contrast in a black and white image. A brighter color image will grab our attention at first. However, that interest will dissipate over time because a more complex and balanced image of color will show a better richness of color complexity, which becomes more rewarding the longer we look at it. How long we spend and how long we look at a photograph will definitely shift our understanding of color. One of the most important aspects when you're working with color is understanding how colors relate to one another. When we think about the color wheel, and if we take the painter's color wheel based on the red, yellow, and blue being the primaries, and then green, violet, and orange being the secondaries, the photographer's color wheel is a little different. It's red, cyan, green, magenta, blue, and yellow, with red, green, and blue being the primaries. But how those colors relate to one another is really important in our understanding of the photograph. For the most part, our prints exist and our understanding exists of color for most of us out of the painter's color wheel. So we think about complementary colors being opposite the color wheel and how they relate to one another. They create a sense of harmony. When colors are complementary, they're harmonious colors. When colors aren't complementary, they can create disharmony or they can create tension. That relationship or lack of relationship becomes really important in our understanding of what those colors are. How do we experience them? Do we experience them as a pleasing aspect, or is it something that creates a dissonance within us? When the colors are pleasing and when they're harmonious, it creates tension within the photograph. It creates an energy within the photograph that sometimes can really help our appreciation of the photograph and how the colors relate to one another. One of the other important parts of that is we also can't understand a color until it's in relationship to another color. If we have just blue If I don't have either another shade of blue or another color introduced, I can't actually build the relationship of truly understanding what that color is. So I do need multiple colors to be in the photograph for me to understand how the colors relate to one another, even if it's the same hue with changes in brightness, in saturation, within a tint or a tone. That becomes really important to helping me understand the complexity of the photograph. When you have colors that are harmonious or disharmonious, and you have two of them, and you introduce a third, that could either break the harmony or increase the harmony. So all colors come into play as they relate to one another. Something else that's really important about color is the relative size and volume of the color, and whether it's saturated, desaturated, all of those come into play and affect how we see color. Johannes Itten, in the book The Art of Color, talks about 7 points of color contrast. He talks about the hue, he talks about the brightness, the intensity, or the saturation. He talks about a warm and cool temperature contrast. So there's contrast that's created by doing warmer colors against cooler colors. There's also the complementary color contrast, which we've talked about. There is a simultaneous contrast. There's also the notion of the relative weight, which is the thing I really wanted to talk about. The size, proportion, and how the colors are in relationship to one another really will impact how a photograph works. So something that is very bright and heavily saturated and large in the photograph will exceedingly come forward, where something cool is going to really recede back into the photograph. And if you have something large and cool and it's pulling back in the photograph, that can completely change our association to what's going on in the photograph and our understanding of what's going on in the photograph. There's a number of other color theories and concepts, which we'll talk about in part two of this podcast next week. But from the basics, we really kind of have this notion of what is the color? How bright and saturated is the color? How does it relate to itself and other colors? And then the relative size. So those things are really kind of the key components to start with when you're initially thinking about color. And when a photograph's working or not working from a color standpoint, I would start with looking at what are the colors. Are they complementary? Are they harmonious? Are they disharmonious? And then what are their sizes in relationship to one another? If you're going in to look at color printing and looking at good photographs, there's a couple of things I think you can do to really help yourself get set up to have some nicer looking color photographs. One of the most important things in a good photograph is a good photograph or print has a relationship established between light and shadow, because photography is really the language of light, as well as those colors. So the relationship and the color is important. One of the things to watch for is a color cast. Now, a color cast is something that is present. It's a color that is present across the entire photograph. It is uniform, it is indefinite, and it affects everything in the photograph equally. So it doesn't matter if it's in the foreground or the background. In most cases, photographs have a color cast and the photographer doesn't remove them. And what that does is it affects the relative density, lightness, brightness, how the neutrals and how the colors separate in the photograph. So removing the color cast is pretty important. Something else to consider is a shadow in a color correct print, or when you're printing, the shadow contains the opposite color of the light source. So in daylight, the shadows are blue. That's why when you photograph and they talk about using a warming gel on flash, it's to warm up that blue light. The shadows is where blue light sits. If you have a magenta light, the shadow will be green. So it's really important to look in the shadows. You can start to see what kind of color cast might sit in those shadows. When a print is color correct and has great information and you've applied these concepts, it will enhance our understanding of the photograph. The color will extend our appreciation and ability to relate to the photograph. The colors will be plausible. So this is one of the things we see a lot in the over HDR'd photographs. If we see them in the over filtered photographs or over processed photographs, is that the colors become unplausible. They lack a sense of believability based on the light source and the context of the photograph. That becomes a more stylized photograph. But if you're attempting to create a kind of more traditional looking photograph, a more natural looking photograph, you want to avoid colors that don't appear plausible. One of the great things about color photography is if we can get colors that are seemingly plausible on local objects, objects that we know what color they are, we will believe the rest of the colors that exist within the photograph. But we need something to anchor on for that process. And the last kind of thing to really look for is looking for an image that shows the full values of the hues, tones, and luminosity within the photograph. Prints are oftentimes printed too dark because our monitors are too bright. We haven't properly calibrated our monitors and done our color management, so the prints come out too dark. And what happens when that occurs is that the tones in the print get crushed and the color separation gets crushed. So we don't have that complexity of a more balanced image. We might end up with brighter colors or more saturated colors, but we'll lose our interest over time because we'll lack that subtle complexity that exists in a much more rewarding photograph. In next week's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about additional color theories that you can apply to looking at photographs. And then we'll also talk about when you're providing a critique for somebody, how do you take some of these concepts that are in color theory and in looking at a photograph and apply that to the critique. So I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes, or you can find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And I hope you have a great week.